Call this Dearman Valley Fire SSD's board meeting to order. Roll call.
Olivia Anderson.
Pat Johnson.
Alan Burns.
Ted Wickham.
I would note that Kim Slight will not be attending tonight. His wife had knee surgery and he's at home helping her recover.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Hunter, would you mind leading us in the pledge of the allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, item number two, approve the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, Pat Johnson. I move we amend the agenda to include approval of the minutes during the board meetings that were held outside of the regular board meeting schedule. Those were on February 16th and February 24th previously. I move that those be included for approval during item number three on the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes. No changes with the rest of the agenda.
I have a second to that.
I'll second that. Olivia Anderson.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Number three, approval of the 19 February 2025 meeting minutes plus the 16-2 and 24-2 minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look them over or read them?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I have a motion to approve.
I can't.
You don't move or second.
That's right.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Pat Johnson, I move that the minutes of the three previously referenced meetings be approved.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right. Treasurer's reports. Number four.
Thank you. Doug,
pull that slide out.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have, as we've done previously, the Treasurer's report is presented in an amended format. The first one references the summary of the statement of activity, formerly known as an income statement. This is the all transactions, income, and expenditures that have occurred since January 1 through February 28th of this year. You'll see the totals are brought to the right. We have the a total income of $294,800. Gross profit, $200,000 of that same amount. Expenses $227,683. Net operating income $67,137, reduced by a small number, $10. So, in addition, other expenses. So, for to date, we are in a positive in the black of $18,953. For where we are in the season, taking us this far with continuous 24/7 365 coverage, we're in good shape. We have just entered wildfire season. We'll hear a lot more about that during this meeting. That means, among all the other things, there is a flurry of financial activity, both in expenditures, getting ready for the deployments, and subsequently the income to be received from those deployments. Okay. Board, any questions on the income statement?
No. Looks good.
Thank you.
Doug,
can you move to the next slide? Okay. Thank you. This is the statement of financial position, or the balance sheet. I'll just refer you to the summary there. These are the numbers as of February 28th. You will, the items to note are the bank accounts and our checking, the operational account of $116,642, the money market operating reserve of $20,619, the money market capital fund of $29,989. Okay? Nearly 3 weeks into this month, those numbers have changed significantly. I have an update as of this morning. This relates to the primarily to the expenditures related to deployments. We now have the reserve accounts remain the same. We have, as of this morning, net of all invoices that have been presented for payment, a balance of $62,118. In the operating account. So you can see that changes significantly during during the season and will continue to do so. Okay? We have in the last month concluded successfully the a lease for the acquisition of the new brush truck, which is sitting right outside. Right outside and all shined up with our logo on it. Looks massive tires.
Yep.
Looks like it's mean and ready for action.
I give Chief Wolf credit for the logo. That's what he does.
Thank you. Yeah. Looks great. Okay. The lease was concluded as per the terms presented to the board. We have a 5-year capital lease of $185,000. We negotiated a very favorable interest rate, 4.49%.
Okay, are we going to cover that in the next item?
I'm kind of blending those two together. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. And we have an annual payment that is due next February. Okay? So that's all done. I understand the licensure and the registration are nearly complete with hard plates.
Yeah, we're waiting on those.
Okay.
Once we get those, mm-hmm. that unit can go on board and deploy. Okay. We expect that.
Good. Okay. Just for the board's update regard to that, there we have three of our department vehicles that are leased through Zions Bank Municipal lending unit. We have the Type 5 brush truck. There is an annual payment due on that of $43,194. That has been made as of the 17th of February this year. There were reserves in place for that payment. Okay, it was made as scheduled. We have a command vehicle, which has an annual payment of $16,739. That's due on the 11th of September. We have reserves, as you'll see on the statement, we have reserves in place for that payment. Okay. The type 6 payment for the new vehicle, as I mentioned, is not due till next year. However, this obligates us to annual payments for the three leased vehicles totaling $102,172 annually. Okay? That's a significant amount, but those vehicles are necessary to replace outdated aging vehicles to make sure that we have vehicles in service that are not only deployable but are here for the immediate use and response and the safety of our community. So, capital funds are always a concern, but I believe we're doing a credible job of acquiring those or making arrangements to keep our vehicles and our equipment up to date, up to standard, up to spec, in compliance for the use by our firefighters for our protection. Just another note. I have got an update from our partner Affinity HR, whom I'm in close contact with several times a week. There are past due assessments which are owed to the district. During the last month, those have been reduced from $72,000 down to $39,000. Part of that was due to an emailing which Affinity sent to those with past due assessments for whom they had emails. I will let the board know that within the next 2 weeks, there'll be another mailing go out to those who have not paid, asking that those assessments be paid without delay. We have previously offered that anyone who has difficulty or challenges payable, please come and see us. We will make arrangements to work with you on that. Otherwise, those payments not made by about the middle of August are, I'm not sure that date, but I believe it's about that date. Anything that's unpaid gets turned over to Washington County, and it's added to the individual lot property taxes with a penalty. Okay. The other thing, just to note, that in the course of the fire season and all of the activity that's going on, the deployments which will be referenced, there is a swarm of financial activity going on. There are four people who are involved in that on a regular basis, Chief Wolf being primarily involved on that. He has the first look at expenditures coming up. Also, there is Teresa at Affinity HR and Michael, who are invaluable in administering the financial operations of the district, keeping our bills paid and making sure that the income is properly recorded and distributed. And somewhere in that mix, I'm usually someplace. Okay. That's the financial report and update. Any questions from the board? Okay, thank you.
Good. Thank you, Pat. Okay, number five, Alan Burns, review of financial details, new brush truck six, type six.
Yeah.
Brush truck. Review of lease vehicles.
I did cover that.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm just going down the agenda.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Pat. Yes, details of that were revealed in the treasurer's report.
Yes.
Okay. Number six, member of the month, February, March, 2 months.
So we met Chief Flygar, and then we'll give a quick.
Dave Watson, he is one of our interns that started working for us last year. He deployed twice last year for us on our wildland deployment. Dave's a retired correction officer out of California. Spent 22 years doing that. He's very involved. He'll be actually heading to Texas tomorrow with our wildland crew heading down there.
He's one of the young guys.
Yeah. So yeah, Dave's an intern for us and does a great job. So glad to have him on board.
And then March.
And then Trey Davis, this is one of our reserve staff. Trey started working for us about 9 months ago. Trey's a full-time fireman in St. George. He's been a fireman for about 5 years full-time between St. George and Cedar Mountain. Trey's one of our best reserves. Just a great kid. Loves the fire service and does a great job. So.
Awesome. Of our fire academy.
Yep.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that came to our fire academy probably 4 years ago.
Three years ago.
Whoever did that, that's great.
I found that.
Very good.
You like it? I
thought
you liked that. You swear it in. Last year,
like a cheat. That was great.
No,
well done. Thank you.
Chairman, I have one question for Chief. You have a number of our employees and the reserves and trainees. Could you tell us briefly, as you survey everyone, what are the criteria you look for when you're selecting members of the month?
You know, it just their how often they're working for us, any type of extra assignments they take on. A lot of these guys, they go the extra mile, and pick up things that they see need to be done without being asked. And really this comes down to their work ethic and, you know, just being good employees. So.
And just add to that, Chief, thank you. Chief Flygar is the ops chief. He is the supervisor of all the captains. So, and our captains are the supervisors that are over the crews. That station belongs to the on-duty captain that day. He runs everything about it. But the Chief Flygar does also ask the captains who are with the crews every day, with the firefighters every day, to give him a member of the month. And so they look for all those qualities that are employees and pass on. And the employees, I know they're not here, they do get recognition and they love it. So we're glad to have them all.
Yeah, we're lucky to have them.
Yes, we are.
Thank you. Any other questions, Chief? All right. Okay.
I still want to make a member of the month.
I know.
You got get all your receipts.
Yeah, well.
I'm not sure we'll be the first one to nominate.
Well, if I could do it, yeah. He's hard to work for. Give me your receipts. Where's it?
He's your accountability partner.
He is absolutely that. I made a goal, so everybody knows I told Chief Wolf. I told him last month I failed. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to be 100%.
Very good. Okay, thank you. Moving on to number 7 on our agenda, Fire Chief's report. And
first of all, welcome everybody aboard. As the treasurer speaks about, we very dynamic organization. If you were to think about the fire department that served you, we have a crew every day over there. They serve the residents. There's captains, engineers. They run those all. We have like an entire second fire department. That's our wildland firefighters that deploy, go across the United States, bring revenue in for the organization, right? Fight fire. They are a busy group. And quite frankly, Chief Flygar runs both divisions. So I don't want to hear anything from Chief. He's a very busy person. But on that, this is the exciting part. So that's the new brush truck out there. Thank you, Board. We're assisting in getting that and improving that. It's huge. But what is that truck? What does that mean for our organization? We have trucks deployed. We have, and they have numbers. Another one listed on that is 1351. 1351 is currently deployed in Texas. They've been there for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, not 4 weeks. 1361, he's back, is was deployed for 2 weeks in Texas, 12 days or whatever. So what does that mean? Well, 1351, if you think of this truck, you're going to understand. 1351 deployed for, I think, this is 12 days. 12-day deployment. And just so everybody understands, this is when we talk about what happens. You know, we bill the state, the DNR, for that deployment. Hey, we've done this work. Here's the money. Pay us now. And that amount, just for that one deployment, is $102,870. And what I'm giving this support is so everybody can understand how we have to forecast. Right? We have to look ahead. 1361 deployed. That is the other sheet right there that Chief Anderson made sure I put up here. Is deployed in 92,801. So these are done, completed. The treasurers had to sweat and get these things paid for and get payroll out. So we front this expense, all this stuff. But we've now submitted these bills, and Chief Wolf let us know that. And that amount is $195,764. So the district has that coming in. Right? We're hoping to acquire that revenue within 7, 10, 12 days, right? Usually earlier, what we do. So now, we are sending out 5 crew members via airplane on Friday. I've taken a job at St. George Shuttle to pick up the truck, grab the troops, run them down there because they want them to fly. So we're sending out 5 employees. Those employees are going out to Texas a day early. They'll meet with the engine boss that's there and that crew. You know, they'll exchange information. They'll check into the fire boss there in Texas. They'll begin their new deployment. But The crew that's coming back here, that'll arrive, I believe, Sunday, right, sir?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon.
We take that billing they made in the 12 days, and I just throw up approximates. Right, I'm not sure yet, but it's going to be approximately $100,000. So that work's done, too. Right, so this work's all done. You know, so if you add that to this, you're at about $300,000. We're going to be able to afford to come in. And that's significant. That's a good amount of money, right? We need to keep this up. The other crew of five, and the reason why the numbers bounce is depending on the skill level of the people we send. Some get paid more, some don't, right? So this other crew that I'm driving down Friday will arrive on Saturday, and they have a resource order. So they are already been asked for by Texas, give us somebody, keep your truck here, don't take it, switch out. So they're going to go, and they should, rough estimate, after 2 weeks, we're in about 90,000. So when we look at our budget, we're forecasting up ahead. We come to around 385,764, about 400,000. Give or take this, if you think about this early in the season, right? Already, we are getting deployment and revenueing out almost $400,000, right? That's very impressive. Chief Hennessy is very thorough, and Chief Flaggers as well. But so if you look at this board, and we're going to keep this up through the season, and you can see that 1351's deployed, 61's waiting on engine boss. Those engine bosses arrive when this crew gets back. So an engine boss will get here. They need 2 days of rest and relaxation. It's a mandatory thing. They're going to get 2 days off. 61's going back on the board
Tuesday.
62, our new truck, is going to get an engine boss that's coming back too. That engine boss can put 62 up on Tuesday if we get the plates. Right, so that's we're just waiting on these plates now. And, of course, our REMS team, and when we get into REMS deployments, those are huge. They're double. You think this, it's two every time it goes out. Right. So it's very impressive. And we're the only REMS team in the state. Thank you, Chief Hennessy. We're getting that done. So when you look at this, this early in the season, we're doing quite well. And if you look at the fact that there was no winter, only one of you noticed it wasn't here. That happened across the United States. And I showed the treasurer and the chairman the map of the United States right now. It is on fire.
Even if, Chief, if you pull that up on your phone, even though it's a small screen, it's shocking.
That's what it is. I'm going to show you a picture. I know you.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so since we're in the fire business, right, and that's what we do, that's what this fire department does, we have a fee, and yes, we appreciate it, and yes, we make sure they're staffed, and yes, we do all that, but if you want to talk about government working, right, you guys pay a fee. Every employee in this organization earns their pay and more.
Right.
This is a business. That's how we're operating this, right? A little different than your standard government, right? So I just want to applaud the chiefs here. I want to applaud the crews that are out. I'm very thankful to that team I have. I'm very thankful for this, but I'm going to say this. I believe we're going to be in a record season, and I think we did around 2-1 to 2-2 last year. So, you know, we could be... You probably got the actual number.
I do. It's right. and you are correct.
Yes. And so, you know, you see a goal there. And of course, I submitted a budget that was pretty conservative. But we didn't put all that in. But the goal is for us to come around 2.5, 3 million. Now, why? My job as a chief is to, and the thing I really want to do is I want to, because it was scary coming over here seeing our budget. Oh, my God. Get money in the bank. Right? So we want to keep our costs low. Keep our spending low, bring in a ton of revenue, give our poor treasurer some money to put in the accounts so that he can sleep at night. Because right? It's a little stressful. And Chief Wolf is our financial chief, and I don't spend a penny on this, you ask me. So I just don't even ask. Until Flagger asks you. So we have pretty tight controls on that. We're expecting a great year. I'm proud of this department. I think I would ask the community to come to the meetings because this is going to be kind of like watching a football game.
it's going to be real exciting.
Right. But that, during Chief's Board, I want to, we have a special gift tonight, and I'm pleased that the fire marshal's here. And we just had some questions about the hydrants and things, and he's also going to give a report on what the fire marshal's been doing, what's going on, what we can look for, so go ahead, Chief.
So the hydrants on the west side have completely been inspected. All the deficiencies were submitted to the water district. They told me they fixed all of them. There were about 9 of them that we couldn't hook up to with our large diameter hose. The valve shutoff was too close to that outlet, and so that's been taken care of. East side's in a lot better shape. So next month we'll start our hydrant, 100% of our hydrant testing.
Every year.
Where we have to do this for ISO. Every year we have to have the data for the ISO guy when he comes. We're due for an ISO inspection next year at the earliest. It's typically 5 to 7 years. And so he asks for all the information, training, hydrants, everything we got. Our metrics, our response times, we give him all that stuff. He comes back with our new classification. I know the chief's goal this year is to go from 2 to 1. That's not going to be very hard to do with.
I want to make it hard and difficult.
No, it's not going to be hard to do with that ladder truck out there.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
That the chief acquired.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking about throwing.
Thank you, sir.
So all that information is important for us. April, when we do the hydrant testing, we will be flow testing 100% of the hydrants. Residents get pissed off at us when we do this, but we have to do this. It's required. What we don't want to do is show up at a hydrant, connect, and the hydrant's not working, which happens in other districts that surround us. That's happened to us twice on structure fires.
Not in this district.
Not in our, no, hell no.
Thank you.
Yeah, the previous chief, I think, was pretty good. and we will pressure test certain hydrants that are the long distance hydrants, the ones that are elevated pretty high. Those are the ones we always worry about. The new pump house has been installed just for hydrant P13, the one at the highest location over there in Pinyon Hills. As soon as that went hot, the crew went out and tested it. So check that box, that hydrant's now.
He's going to interject.
Yeah.
So the fire marshal is the one that operates for our community. We have the county told a person they couldn't build, right? That's where we got here.
Yeah, the county, while they were enforcing state law, it said you had to have a certain static pressure, static and residual pressure on the hydrant. It didn't meet that. We tried to tell them, well, wait a minute, we bring our own pump to increase the pressure. That's why it's there. And we were getting almost 900 gallons a minute out of that hydrant, which was fine for us. But the hydrant itself has to hit a certain pressure, whether we bring a pump or not. So that's what that $500,000 pump house was for. It's for one hydrant.
Because they would not let.
Because that house, the Fergusons would not be able to build. And so as soon as we got to where we needed to be, we notified the Fergusons we were good to go. We notified the building department, everything's been tested. They kicked out a building permit for them, and now they're building. So hydrants were doing pretty good. April's the month that we're pretty busy around here for about 2 weeks hitting all the hydrants. Okay. As far as FireWise assessments, I've done 14 to date. After the workshop that we had, I don't know who was at the workshop, but among you, but we're in the FireWise season at this point. And so every week I got 5 or 6 to do. I've got 6 or 7 more on the list of everybody who signed up. And that'll happen when I get back from Florida and after next week. So we're about on track, a couple hours behind year over year where we were last year on assessments. We're at 25 hours so far on assessments being done. I did one ad hoc this morning for a little old lady up here that needed a lot of trees cut down. She wasn't happy with me, but she's got people who can help her. So. I marked a lot of trees on her line that are risking their home. So the FireWise stuff is going pretty good. There is a community for Dameron Valley. They got our name at the Utah State University and at Idaho University. You may have seen it hit the social media. a couple PhD fire scientists got our name and said that, hey, they're a fire adaptive community, the only one in Washington County. You might want to talk to those guys. They have a research grant that they're looking at home ignition zone and what it takes to be a fire adaptive community and what you're doing about it. And so I've been on the phone with them. We've had three telecons. They're asking me questions like, how did you get started? How did you know what to do? Where's it all going? All that kind of stuff. How do you know your fire adaptive community? Well, we applied for it and we got it. We did thousands of hours of work in the last 2 years, and I can show you the certificate from NFPA and all that kind of stuff. So they want to come see what we're doing. And they're going to reach out to all the residents, good or bad. The Community Fire Council, which is co-chaired by Kurt, Kurt sent them all the people who had FireWise home ignition zone assessments. That's been sent to them, and they've now started reaching out to residents to say, hey, when we're there on the 24th of March, can we come talk to you? And we warned them, you're going to get a lot of grief because a lot of people didn't want to take anything down, but they did to protect their home. And you're going to hear from other people who are like, I couldn't get insurance unless I took all these trees down that the fire marshal marked and things like that. So, and then you'll have everything in between. So we've tried to prepare them for the good, the bad, the ugly. So they'll be here from the 24th of March till the 6th of April. I get back from Florida on the 1st, and they're going to meet with me for a few hours on the 2nd. We're going to go through. We've already gone through the genesis of this department and the transformation and the disruption that we caused in the area while we were looking for something different here in this community for fire service. And so they've got that whole thing. So they've got three telecons, three one-hour, one-hour-and-a-half telecons of information from us already. So that's going to be coming up starting next week. Just a couple more things. The chipping. I don't know if anybody's seen the chipping pile over there. It's quite large next to the community garden. We're working four options to get all that chip because we want to keep this going until we get into May, June, and we have to kind of tell everybody he's up on the chainsaws because we don't need anybody starting a wildfire. So one is our chipper. When do you think we'll see that?
A couple weeks. We get the check.
Okay. You're going to drive it up?
Yeah.
Okay. So Chief Wolf's been working, getting the money from the state on the grant to pay Vermeer to bring our chipper up. If that gets delayed more than a week to 2 weeks, I've talked to the fire warden this week. He's going to let us use their brand new chipper that they just got. Option three, I was up in Cedar talking to the Wildland Urban Interface Coordinator. He's going to let us use his equipment. They've got a chipper that they'll bring down. Then option four is, and I asked the Wildland Urban Interface Coordinator, I said, option four has got to be you just pay for it like you did last year. I said, do you have money? He said, yes. He said, I don't want to use it, but yeah. So he said, that is an option for you. I said, great. So I got plan A, B, C, and D. So pretty soon that will be gone, and we'll start filling it all up again. We're leaning towards, so the other piece of that I want to talk about is the residents, once we get our chipper, we will be able to go to their lot and chip right there. Instead of having, we have a lot of senior citizens, right? They're not capable, for obvious reasons, to bring everything over here. We'll be able to go to their lot with our truck, with our chipper, and just chip everything right there. The need that I gave the chief is someday we need to buy a used box truck that dumps everything. They go between $15,000 to $25,000. When we get to the end of the fire season and you guys start bending each other's arms and all that, that may be a need for next year in 27 that we can look at. Just buy a used one. We don't need a brand new one. Just get a junk truck that the hydraulic works, where we can just chip into and then dump it and put everything somewhere else as opposed to chipping on everybody's lot.
Chief will stay in that lot.
So, huh?
Chief will stay in that.
Okay. Anyway, so the chipping's going real good. I'm really happy with the residents. They filled that up pretty quick. It's only been like a few weeks since we opened it again, and now it's pretty full. And the community garden wants all the chips anyway, so when we blow everything onto the ground over there, we've got somebody who come just pick it up with the front loader and take it. Other than that, any other questions for me?
Chief, first off, I have been contacted by one of the people from Utah State, and made an appointment to meet with them during that period here. So they are reaching out. to the community. We hope we get a good response to that.
Yeah.
The other question is with your the interface with it looks like the water company is being helpful and cooperative to bring everything into compliance. How is that relationship good?
It's adequate. Yep. We're getting what we need, especially after that fire we had 2 years ago over there on Pinion Hills Drive. They don't want any hydrant issues. So, and the issue that was at that hydrant were the nine hydrant, it was the same issue, or nine other hydrants. So they were kind of driven to fix them. Okay. So once we start with our assessments and our testing in April, we will again, like we do every year, assess any issues with the hydrants.
Pressure. I've noticed quite a decrease, and I'm down here in the lowest part of the town.
Yeah.
Wondered what other people are saying.
I haven't heard anybody say anything about pressure issues.
I was just finally turning on my lawn water, and I hardly have enough to make the little things spin around. So,
really?
Yeah, something's up. Maybe it's my problem.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from anybody on pressure, especially on the downhill where you are.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have any issues. It's all gravity fed water system.
Yeah.
So this is also the time of year where the chief asks the water district to make sure the tanks are 100% full. We don't want to be in the fire season with half full tanks. And then we end up like Black Forest, Colorado, and California where we don't have enough water. So that could still happen if we have a conflagration. Where you got multiple trucks pulling thousands of gallons out of the water distribution system, but we want them full.
To that point, last year I met with the water company and said, you keep those tanks full.
Yeah, they weren't keeping them full. We didn't know that.
And that's
Dameron?
Yeah, here.
Water?
Yeah. So I make them keep those tanks full. Right, because they were brand new, only pump at 2 in the morning, so it's cheaper. But anyway. And thank you, Chief. And that's the advantage, a huge advantage we have with farmers, right? He can deal with that. He can deal with water management. He can stuff. And it's very important. I'm going to be vague about this, but I think you'll catch what I'm saying. Look, home fires now in these areas, right, are highly, it's not like it used to be. It's so different. It's 100% different now. They're highly scrutinized by the insurance company. Here's a building, you have a fire. They come out. Oh, yeah, it looks like a fire. Okay, we'll write you a check. All their money's gone, right, to California. So when we talk about the hydrants, we talk about the fire department. And we talk about all the things that we have to have in place, right? The insurance companies are no longer writing checks for homes. They literally want to litigate every time there's a fire. And all our homes out here are $500 million. That's a big check to go write for fire. So if the fire department's response time to poor, if we're not adequately staffed, right, and what happened on the fire, which you kind of think been fixing, I'm going to be very vague and you understand why. If the hydrant has an issue, the insurance company's lawyer, the first thing they're going to do is sue the water company, right, based on hydrant issue, or critique the fire company and say, you didn't provide adequate service, we should have to pay for it, the district should. So the insurance company's changed drastically. And so we have nothing to worry about here. Zero. We meet every NFP standard. Our crews will be there in 3 minutes. Maybe a little sleepy, three more, they'll be there. And do everything correct. So I just wanted to put that out there about the reasons why we have to have everything to standard.
That's good to see that motivates the water company to keep their tanks full.
Well,
but they're not be liable for it.
Well, right. And also, I'll know. So.
Yeah.
Question for you, Chief.
Go ahead.
Alan Burger. Talk about the wildland stuff and the fire prevention business here. How are the calls going around here? Are we getting a lot of calls?
We're getting that. We're right there where we usually be this year.
Yeah.
A little busier, but we're obviously everybody. Tourism's gonna. It's all gonna start happening.
Right.
Travel, right, the call. So we pick up. Last year, I think it was, if I remember the numbers correct, 343. I mean, I would expect us to be there, maybe closer to 400 this year.
Okay.
Based on the activity.
And Gold Cross is keeping up with their service in the area. And I heard a resident up the road had maybe wait for Enterprise or something, and end up driving themselves to the hospital.
Yeah, so I don't have any particular on that, but far as I know.
Yeah, I just, how often does that happen? I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's your thing.
No, it's not your thing.
No, here's the thing. No, we're gonna, we need to get along with all these different entities.
Right, I'm just.
So we're doing what we do. This isn't a rumor mill.
No.
You know, and we don't wanna have any liability associated with anything related to that.
No, but to your question, Chair, the call volume is running, hasn't used it, maybe a little more. But we're prepared, we're ready. And to that point, you know, once we got our new system to track our performance, you know, we used to have a response time up there of like almost 6 minutes, 5 something, we're at 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's great. Because the crews can go in to the computer, hit in route, they don't need to say it on the radio. So normally if I say I'm in route, the dispatcher's gonna be, they're busy, then if they come back and say, okay, they can get in route and on scene. And that puts more accurate numbers.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for the chief?
I have one for the chief, Pat Johnson. Yeah, chief, you've done a great job of explaining what resources that we have available for deployments. That covers our revenue side of it. Could you, what can you tell us about the resources that stay here at home, the readiness, your personnel resources for the immediate needs of our residents?
Yeah, that's a good question. And to that point, with fire season arriving, it does change some things. Well, Chief Blackard's gonna live here, and I'm gonna live here in the fire season, right? We don't go home. So there's that. Chief Hennessy does a great job as a command officer, picking up when something happens if he's around. But do enjoy Florida, sir. But you think about all this deploying, and you might think, what covers us? Right? What covers us? We that's a totally separate system. We have our engine 131 there. That's stays right there in this station, that structure engine, right? We also keep a brush truck 24/7, never leaves. Sometimes I would like to deploy it, make some money, but no, it stays here too. So and on red flag days and stuff like that, a lot of times we'll have our regular staff or staff, whatever, and then Chief Flyer might make some calls, and we may staff 6 that day, just because we're a high fire danger, right? And the why is this. Everything about a wildfire in our area, is why I don't sleep much at night, but especially during summer, is time. How fast is it going to build? And the Denver Valley's sole job here is to get dispatch, get out the door, and aggressively attack that fire. And that has, speaking of staffing, the why we staff that heavy. When we start looking at insurance and what we're going to be billed for, right, one of the things they really look at is how many acres it burned, right, in your area. Right? So we want to keep our burnt acreage very low. But we did get dinged in the overall county with the huge fire we had in Pine Valley. But so we keep a constant 24/7 30 question. Engine company and in severe days, red flag warning days, we'll also stop a brush truck. And I think some of you have seen those days where an injured lot will be called by a second unit. So
thank you.
Did you want to mention anything about HB 48 being
modified?
Being tabled?
Yeah. So HB 48 came out a couple weeks ago. As soon as it came out, I was on the phone with DNR guys. They're going to delay 1 year, the charging people $20, $60, or $100 till 2027. The rumor, Bill, is this thing is starting to heat up where people are kind of pissed off. They're not happy with it. And people have been screaming litigation and all this kind of stuff. So, not our fight. We're not dogging that fight. But delaying it a year has given DNR a little bit more time to get their act together. So let me give you guys my thought. One of the things that has happened is they have simply just taken communities and they've just turned around a Dameron Valley red. Structural exposure score of 7, high risk, That's all you guys. Irrespective of what any resident does in their lot to mitigate their home, I can think of at least one street, not because you live there, but if you came out and looked at Canyon Trails, I have no idea, there's like nothing over there. And six of those people have had firewise assessments. I walk up with yellow, with orange flagging to mark stuff, and there's nothing to mark. It's all like rocks and concrete on everyone's house. The back is all clear on most of the homes over there. So they're doing everybody somewhat of an injustice by just saying the easiest path was to go damn high risk, as opposed to doing the work, come out and look at it and say, okay, that piece of it, Dameron Valley has been built into the WUI over here, but that piece of it is right along SR 18. It makes no sense that that was has a 7 structural exposure score. It's probably a 5 or 6, which is moderate risk, right? Not low, but moderate. So HB 48 it's still rubbing people raw. The last couple of FireWise assessments that I've done, people were complaining that the fire department wants more money, and I'm constantly having to remind them, it is not the fire department who's doing this to you, it is the state of Utah. We have nothing to do with it. The fact that I'm here to do a FireWise assessment for you is our service we provide you. You're not paying me. I'm here to help your house become more fire adaptive. And so, and they get it eventually, you know. So, but yeah, everything's delayed on HB 48. We don't think the training's going to be ready. They said April, May to train the assessors. We think that's behind a little bit. So that may be now June, July. So that's kind of where HB 48 is. This came out right after our workshop that we had a couple, 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, we'll just take it as it comes, to be honest with you. You know, when they said $20, the grief that I got from a couple people is, holy crap, I've done $9,000 worth of work for $20. I could have eaten the $20, right? So, but it is what it is. Again, I try to tell everybody, yeah, I get it, but we're here to save your house. Yeah. That's really why we're here. And that's why I'm marking the trees I mark, to give your house the biggest chance. Also, at the same time, you want to convince fire crews when they drive by your house, that's the house I want to park my engine at. Because I feel safe parking there, my crew will be safe, my engine will be safe, and we can stay here and protect maybe the house next door and the house on this side. So that's really your goal, is the one you want. Crew, you don't want crews driving by going, they didn't do any work around that house, we're going to the next one. So, and when we triage homes, when everybody's coming to the dance, that's kind of how it works. Everybody starts triaging every road, and then they pick a house that they're gonna defend, if they're gonna defend any. So we want to make sure, and it's not the trees that we're trying to save. I tell everybody this, you have to cut trees to save trees. I know those people don't want to remove any trees, but you have to cut trees to save trees. If you leave them all, you'll lose them all. Now, I'm hoping none of this ever happens while I'm alive here in Utah, and you never see it, and 20, 30 years from now, you can all be going, I wasted all that money I used to cut on my trees down. Great. That's your biggest headache, then great, your house is still standing. So, but if you end up with a Pine Valley situation, downsloping fire, which is not too common, blew into the community, two things we have to deal with, structure density and embers, okay? So we don't have the density. We definitely got the ember problem, okay? So anyway, HB 48 pushed out a year. That's kind of where it's at.
Thank you, Chief. I think it's important to note for the board that maybe a man from however we want, that the fire marshal and our budget, that's the organization and what we do, these FireWise assessments that our fire marshal goes out and do, that's a benefit of being a resident. You do not get billed for that.
Great service.
Right? Yeah, it's remarkable.
Yeah. Nobody else is doing them.
No.
No, that's great. What you're doing is awesome. Yeah. Yeah,
and one more point on the density. Listen, everybody here has probably been through a driving snowstorm. Right. Imagine that, Kent. The embers are that. The fire. So we look around and we're like, oh, it's got to burn from this tree or this tree and that tree. No. We are surrounded by light flashing fuels. And it never is windy here, right? So those light flashing fuels and that wind is going to shower our community with embers. And that doesn't mean the fire's going to cut your house. It's coming through the wind, get piled onto your roof, get piled onto your patio, and that's how you lose the infected.
Yeah. All right. questions, comments for the chiefs? Okay, on to number eight, board discussion. Discussions with no votes. Letter A, and this is our treasurer has some news.
I do. I've given notice to the board that beginning in October, I will be absent from the community for 6 months. My wife and I have been called on a church mission to Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
We're very excited about that opportunity to serve. I realize that creates some a justified level of concern here, in that during my absence, the treasurer's responsibilities has to be taken care of. It can't be put on hold. It's something that's a constant need. I have given the board three options for your consideration, or any combination thereof, or any other suggestions that you may have. There is no need for an immediate decision, but it does need to be, the board needs to discuss what it feels the best options will be. If it's determined that option number one is the most suitable, I am very willing to do that and accommodate that in my schedule. If it's any of the other options, I will of course abide by whatever the board feels is necessary.
Thanks, Pat. Alan Burns. My opinion is that you're off doing whatever you're doing, your mission, and that would be a huge distraction to the job of treasurer. I think, I think you got to focus on one or the other. And then your term is up at the end of 2027. At some point we need to work another treasurer into the board before that point or at that point. So, that's just my thought on it. And I know the other options. The other options is trying to promote from within, and that's a great option too. Probably the best option, that you can work with somebody before you're off on that. And
maybe Doug Markham, with the job that Pat has done, and you alluded to it too, Chief.
Very, very excited.
I've never met anybody that's done such an amazing job, really, and if you are willing to be able to do it effectively, maybe there's some kind of hybrid situation between one and two, maybe you could, my idea, maybe then you continue to be in that position remotely, but then maybe there's a way if Olivia is willing. I've never seen anybody as organized as Olivia either. We're very blessed to have her on the board in our community too, the things that she's done, and she pays attention to detail. Maybe to help mitigate some of the stuff, while you're on your mission, maybe there could be some shared responsibilities if Olivia was open to that. And then if there was anything that ever happened, or even have a backup, even for you, just to be prudent that way, then she at least has an idea in case anything ever happened to you or your situation changed, but I would probably think of an idea maybe between a hybrid between one and two, right? To maybe just have her shadow you somewhat, and I think you're already sort of doing that anyway. I know the way that this went down with getting the lease for the truck was an amazing feat, and I don't know how many hours Pat had in it. You can tell everybody how many hours you had in putting that lease deal together. And we do have outside counsel that can review contracts, right? And I know Olivia helped with some of the aspects of that, which was amazing. And really, also on the welfare side, you guys, to have this revenue source, it's such a great thing what you've done here. Like you say, even from a business point of view, to be able to keep our fees low, maybe sometimes even lower and more, right? If we are, have a windfall of these different things, especially since we have all these great services in place. But getting back to that, I would maybe think that maybe we do some kind of hybrid between one and two, if Olivia was willing to shadow Pat somewhat more, and just in case any time, you know, I think, anyway, that's my opinion on it. I think that you could still effectively do it remotely, right, with all the technology that we have, and, you know.
That's helpful. I am still relatively new in the responsibility myself. Many thanks to Kirk Shelley, who kind of forged the way to this and put a lot of things in place that were very easy to step into, Affinity HR and that transition being one. I will say that I won't minimize the amount of commitment that it takes for time. I am 20 plus hours per week into that. And it's about as heavy a workload as could be expected from a volunteer board member. Knowing what my anticipated schedule will be, I have times of the day that could be handled. So again, I'm open to to option number one or any combination, Doug, that you reference. I will say that we do have time. We're looking 6 months out, so there's time to evaluate that.
Yes.
And see how that goes. There's no reason to make an imminent. Right. Or a decision.
What's your thought on it, Olivia?
I'm willing to help out however is needed, and I agree, like a hybrid, you know, something between one and two, because you do have 9 months after you return.
Yes, there,
March
yeah,
to December.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there,
to
I,
train
and I
somebody
will,
else.
We'll be coming directly back here on April of 2027. So.
Yeah, so we do have a little bit of time there. To you know, shift another person or
help support a schedule about it, and your resignation won't be accepted.
Well, and it's not something we're voting on today either, so John.
So just a word of advice, if I could. You don't have that much time. You're in the budget season for 2027 in October. So I would suggest you start the budget in August for the following year, so you've got most of that done before it's up.
Thank you.
To that point, there was a lot of the work that was done last year makes it a lot easier this year.
We will definitely be prepared.
Okay. Alan Burns, I had a question from a resident about apparently they have special needs and can't make it to meetings and wanted to know if we Zoomed them or any other thing, and I guess I reached out to Hunter and Pat about it, and I guess that's not an option. I guess you tried it during COVID or something like that.
It was a kind of disaster during COVID. We just don't have the facility set up for it. You know, when you watch like the county commission meetings online, they have $100,000 audio visual setup that accommodates it.
So I explained it to the resident and directed the resident toward the link in the website to where they can hear the recordings and stuff. And I just, you know, wasn't sure if that was even an option, and now I understand it's not. So, you know, we got to rely on the recordings. So, I mean, it's a good thing that, you know, residents are listening to these recordings. They can't make it here to the meetings in the evenings once a month. But thank you for replying on those subjects.
And just further to that point, Olivia has those recordings verbatim from our meetings here online within 72 hours of the meeting.
Right. So. I did convey that to the resident, that it's within 72 hours. So. Any other topics for the board to discuss here?
I have one. This is it relates to the insurability committee. This is a question for the board, and also we'd like the input of the fire marshal. Kurt Shelley had headed that up and started and done most if not all of the front work on that. As we look ahead, does it make sense to see if the insurability committee is a better fit under the community fire council rather than the board.
Alan Burns, I think I look at Kurt's summary on his work that he did. I have to review that again.
Okay.
I think we should all probably review it before we make a decision on that.
Okay.
So I think he emailed that to all of us, I believe. Okay.
If I may, it's an ongoing situation, thank you. The chiefs will meet and with Fire Marshal Wright as we go, but we want to leave open the ability and have Kurt come in if he'd be like, right? These are more just discussions about the church, but we don't want to halt the committee, and we don't want to transfer it away, because of course the fire department's here too, but I do think it's very easy for us to continue to meet and for the fire chiefs to, and with whoever we meet, to be able to give a report in the future, give that to the board for the community. So it's entirely up to that. Having a board member on it isn't necessary. It's just necessary that we can deliver information to you, put it on the agenda, and you guys can do that, if that's about it.
Okay, I'll move on to that. Discuss that at the next meeting. Okay. Anything else for discussion? Doug?
No, I'm fine.
Good. Olivia?
No, sir.
Pat?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, on to public comments. If you have a comment or question, you step up to the podium so we can get a recording of it. State your name, and it's got to be related to the agenda this evening. And you have 2 minutes, 3 minutes? 2 minutes.
I thought of the chair.
Well,
two-ish.
I usually have a cheat sheet.
2 minutes, man.
2 minutes. Okay. So anybody?
Hey, you're there with that. We'll put that up there.
Sometime. Yep, there we go. Anybody have a...
Hi, Belinda Miller. I just have a question if the agenda item number 8 about the open market was addressed.
Oh,
I can answer that. That was scheduled to be on the agenda, and I talked to Jen Johnson about that, and there is a question mark on that. Here's how it stands right now. They're going to hold a market event on April 18th and see how it goes, both with respect to vendors and with community participation. And following that, Jen and her group will make a decision whether they want to continue it or
okay.
not.
Thank you.
So do you know how to get in touch with Jen?
I can.
Okay. That's yeah, okay. She's the one to ask that. We invited them to present. And she came back and said, big question mark, we're going to see how it goes on the 18th.
All right, I know she sent something out on Nextdoor, and I had read it, but I don't know much about the open air market, but you've answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
We'd like to see it go and succeed. I mean, it's nifty crafts and other things over there. So
their main focus is trying to get more vendors. So anybody you know that wants to have a booth and sell something,
okay,
that will encourage them to continue doing it.
If we, just as citizens, if we want to promote it, is there a fee for that participation?
I don't think they charge a fee.
I don't.
I don't.
Okay.
Public comments? Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Mr. Chairman, Pat Johnson, I move we adjourn.
And then I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for I've been to the ones they had last year. They were pretty fun.
No.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, gotcha.
Hour and a half.
Okay.
I think the booth space was $20.
About 50% of the time.
It wasn't a lot.
Something doable. In fact, I actually have some stuff that I'd like to sell. I have about, believe it or not, about 4 or 5 motorcycles that I'd really like to.
I have at least 4 or 5 motorcycles that we would like to get rid of too. Oh, I guess I can sell this.